dick.
DSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into the program. Welcome into a new day. Hope all is starting off well for you. It's a little chilly, but it's not as windy as it was yesterday morning. Still pretty gusty out there, but not as bad as it was. And we've got a pretty decent day on the way, but it'll be windy. There will be wind, but it won't be as cold as it was yesterday. Although it did warm up pretty nice. And tomorrow's shaping up to be really nice. Talking high 60s. High 50s. So hopefully you get a chance to get outside and take a little walk or do something. As we are now just about into mid-March, right? We're just about halfway through. On Friday, it'll be the Ides of March. And you know what that means? When it's the Ides of March, yep, I'm going to play vehicle. Maybe multiple times. It is a tradition, at least when I'm on the radio, and it goes back to our friend Dirty Deb, who would request it, not only on the Ides of March, she would want it all the time, but she always requested it every March 15th. So looking forward to playing that in her honor on Friday. Also, as you know, we have a regular segment that we do here on the program. It's a partnership with South Coast Health, and we call it Your Health Matters. And it's where South Coast brings a different doctor on each month to talk with us about various afflictions or diseases or prevention, surgeries, all different types of things. And we are going to be talking about that next week. We're going to be talking about shoulders. But I also made a special request. I said, listen, we can have the regularly scheduled guest that is going to come on with us and speak about, you know, whatever is important for South Coast Health this month. But I also had a request because March is Kidney Cancer Awareness Month. And so I asked if at all possible, if the surgeon who performed my surgery, Dr. Dennis LaRocque, could join us. And I knew it was, you know, I knew he had a very busy schedule because he's recently been promoted. He oversees all of medicine for South Coast Health now. And he's just a very busy guy. But they reached out to him and he said he would make time for us. And he's going to join us on Thursday morning to talk with us about kidney cancer awareness. Because I feel like if I have this platform, if I have this ability to speak to you, the audience, and if I was afflicted with kidney cancer, that, you know, obviously it's a sign that I should use this platform to try to spread some awareness. So we will do that on Thursday morning. And yeah, I'll probably get personal with it, but it's about sharing the information with you so that you can pass that on to others and be aware of it for yourself. So that'll be happening on Thursday morning. If you have gone through it yourself, shoot me an app chat message, Tim at WBSM, an email, Tim at WBSM.com, or an app chat message on the WBSM app. And if you want to, or you can call in on Thursday morning after we're done speaking with Dr. LaRocque and we can share some of those stories on the air. And we will hopefully open some folks' eyes and help them so that if they go through it or if they have the potential for going through it, they can just be more aware of it. 508-996-0500, that is the number to contact me and to discuss whatever is on your mind this morning. You can also send those app chat messages on the open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I had a couple of articles yesterday that I just wanted to bring up. One was kind of a fun one. As I said, you know, I get bogged down in writing all these news stories and talking about some of the heavy topics that are happening around the South Coast. And every once in a while, I just like to tell a fun story that is, you know, a happy ending type thing. And certainly, yesterday I got the chance to tell a fun story. I got to tell the story of the Mattapoisett rooster known as Leo, who valiantly stood up to a hawk that tried to take him away. After just a few months ago, his predecessor was taken away in the same fashion by a hawk, and the family had lost numerous roosters to hawks and other predators. Leo stood his ground and scared the hawk off. And you can read the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, including finding out how he got his name, which he didn't have until after he battled the hungry hawk. So just a cute little story that'll hopefully make you smile this morning as you're eating your breakfast. And then I also have another story, one that I'd been working on since last week. And I think that it's an important thing to check out if you like to read and you like to save money. I went last week to the Wareham Recycling Center, which in all my years of living in Wareham, I had never gone to. I knew where it was, but I'd never had to recycle anything large. Most things I had, I would put in my barrel, my recycling barrel. And I just took for granted that that was going to get picked up and taken away and never really thought about, you know, what the process is of separating things and actually bringing it somewhere to have it recycled and all of that. But I knew that the recycling center was in the back of the park and ride, right off Maple Springs Road. You could see it as you were driving by, you know, in the wintertime when there's not as many leaves on the bushes and trees around it. But I never really gave it much thought. I used to go to the Marion Dump, which was out on Benson Brook Road. Since closed down, but I used to go there and they had a little shed there where people would put items that they didn't want anymore, but that were still, you know, something somebody might use. And it might be that you might go and put it in there, or the people who worked at the dump, when they're going through the dumpsters that people dump stuff into, they might put it in there. But I used to go there all the time and I would get different things there. You know, when I was married, my wife would go through vacuums like crazy. And so I'd go down there and either find parts for the vacuum we had or just find another vacuum that we might use for another month or two, but whatever, we didn't pay anything for it. And I would find old radios there and I collect old radios. I mean, there was all kinds of things that you would find in there. But when that closed down, I lamented the fact that that didn't exist anymore. Well, apparently it's been existing for 30 years at the Wareham Recycling Center, and I had no idea. They have, not only do they have roll-offs where you can dump various items, but they have the swap shed where you can put some things that people might want. You can go there and take whatever you want out of it for, you know, leave a donation if you can. But then they also have the book shed. And this conversation about an interest in the book shed started months ago when I was on the air and I lamented the loss of the late, great Ken Mark books in Wareham. Anybody that was a voracious reader in the 90s, you probably knew about Ken Mark books. It was a large building located where, if I remember correctly, it was where the KFC Taco Bell is now on Cranberry Highway. So we're talking about, you know, you could go to Wendy's and then walk over to Ken Mark or you could go to McDonald's and run across the street. I mean, it was part of our, certainly part of my teenage years. Once I could drive and I had money myself, I was there all the time. But even before that, I remember riding my bike when I first moved to Wareham and I lived pretty much right on the Wareham Buzzards Bay line where the AJ Marks Jewelers is now. That's where I first lived when I first moved to Wareham, and I would jump on my bicycle and ride down the Cranberry Highway. And Ken Mark Books was a destination to go to because you would spend hours in there. There were stacks of books. I mean, the upstairs was kind of organized with periodicals and new books. And then when you walked into the back, that's when you started getting into the used books. And when you went down into the basement, that's when you were dealing with literally stacks and stacks and stacks of used paperbacks. And you would go there and fill up a bag of books. And there were days when it was like $3 for a grocery bag, a brown paper bag full of books. And the best part about it is you would take them home, you would read them, and if you didn't want to keep them, when you were done with them, you would go back and you would get credit for them. So it was a must visit all the time. We were there all the time. But then they suffered a fire. The place, of course, went up in a flash. And nobody ever brought back the used bookstore idea. For a while, there was a Salvation Army in Wareham. And it had a large book section. But I can be honest with you. I would look at the books every time I went in there. And there was never anything that really grabbed me. Might have bought in 5 books in the 15 years that place existed, or however long it was. Because nothing was going to be like Ken Mark was. And it was always my dream that if I, you know, had money and didn't have to get up and go to work every day and could just do something that I could take a chance that I wouldn't profit off of, I always wanted to open up the next Ken Mark books, the next. And, you know, and a lot, there's a lot of bookstores out there that sell used books, but it's not like this was. This was unique, it was special, and I would love to write an article about Ken Mark itself, but I can't find any photos of it. It burned down even before there were Google Maps photos of the outside of the building. So anybody that might have a photo, please let me know. Tim@WBSM.com. But I was lamenting on the air the loss of that and how much that store must have impacted the Wareham community as readers over the years. And Marilyn Russell, who is the coordinator for the Wareham Recycling Center, reached out to me via the app and said, well, we have the book shed here. Doesn't sound like it's as big as what you're talking about, because she had moved here after it had burned down. But she said, you know, come by and check it out sometime. So I went last week, and it is a shed, but it is packed with books, lots of good quality books. And all they're asking for in return is a donation of 50 cents for a paperback, a dollar for a hardcover. And I got a great book when I was there about spiritualism, which is a popular topic in Wareham because it still has a spiritualist church in Onset. But they had a lot of great books in there. And if you are somebody who loves to read and loves physical media, loves to have the book in your hands, it is the place to go. They're only open 2 days a week and for very limited hours. They're open Wednesdays from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. and they are open Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon. And if you are just going to peruse the book shed or the swap shed and to grab some items to take with you, you can park in the park and ride because they do get a lot of cars that show up during that brief period of time. So all the information is in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Maybe later on today, if I get a chance, I'll put a little Google Earth image inside so people can see exactly where it is. When you go to Maple Springs Road, though, when you come off the highway, there's a sign right there. But we need more opportunities for people to get those used books again. You know, library book sales are great, but you've got to be aware of when they're happening. I've gotten a lot of books at Savers, but we're talking $3, $4, $5, $6 a book as opposed to 50 cents to a dollar for a book. I remember going to flea markets as a kid and there were people who all they did was sell books. And if I had $5 in my pocket, which, you know, that's what my dad would pay me for the day for helping him out with his table, I thought I was rich because I was going to be walking out of there with, you know, 10 books. Sometimes more because, you know, paperbacks would be a quarter. My grandmother used to go yard sailing every Saturday morning. And when I would go to her house on Sundays, she would say, I have something for you. And she would hand me a big brown paper bag, you know, full-size grocery bag, full of paperbacks that she purchased at a yard sale. And they were always, you know, she knew how much I loved Stephen King, so it was always Stephen King books. And I don't like that the younger people of today don't have those same opportunities to get their hands on books the way that we did. Now, if they want an ebook, if they want to do it the legal way, they're still going to pay for it. You can check them out from the library. You can actually check out ebooks from the library. Read them on your Kindle or your iPad or whatever. I do it all the time. But they, if they want to buy an ebook, they're paying $6, $7, $8, $10 for that ebook. If they want to buy a physical book and they're going to Amazon, you know, you can go to, there's thrift books and other sites like that where you can get cheap paperbacks, but then you're still paying to have it shipped and all of that. And also, you've got to try to really find what you're looking for. One of my favorite feelings in the world, you know, when I'm talking, this was late 90s, was going into the supermarket and seeing that paperback shelf and just going through and seeing, oh, this looks interesting. I think, oh, yeah, I'll buy this. And then reading that. And then falling in love with that book and that author. That's how I first started reading Dan Brown books, was I found Angels and Demons on a supermarket shelf. I was like, oh, this is the kind of thing I'm into. Yeah. And I don't know how much of that discovery is still out there for people anymore. I spent, there was a summer where, you know, we were living in a campground and I must have read 20 paperbacks during the time that we lived there because I was just finding everything. And I'm like, I'm going to read this. I want to read that. And I was tearing through a book in 2 or 3 nights. But how do people discover that anymore without having to pay a lot of money for those books? Yeah, you can walk into Walmart. They've got a bookshelf. You can go into a bookstore, but you're paying a lot more money. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I got to take a break here. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back in. And again, 508-996-0500 is the number to call in and chime in. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
More voters head to the polls today ahead of the presidential election, the risks of artificial intelligence, and in New York, decriminalizing adultery.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Several states will hold presidential nominating contests today on the path to the November general election. Voters will head to the polls in Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington. This as both President Biden and former President Donald Trump are assured to win their party's nominations. Trump is expected to clinch the nomination when the voting is done, Biden probably by next week. Former President Trump thinks a TikTok ban would only empower Facebook, which he called an enemy of the people. Speaking to CNBC Monday, the likely Republican presidential nominee said there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok, but he predicted that banning it could help Meta, which owns Facebook, double in size. A new report says the U.S. government must act quickly to avoid the risks of artificial intelligence. Those risks range from national security threats to, in a theorized extreme case, an extinction-level threat to the human species. The report, commissioned by the State Department, was released Monday. It was compiled after talking with more than 200 government employees, experts, and workers at cutting-edge AI companies. The Consumer Price Index, a key indicator of the state of inflation, is due out today. This is Americans expect high inflation to stick around over the next few years. That's according to the New York Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Expectations. The expectation is that the inflation rate will be up 3% a year from now. A dramatic scene in Northern California as the warden and three other top managers were ousted Monday during a surprise raid at a federal prison. It's an apparent escalation of a years-long sexual abuse investigation at FCI Dublin, which led to previous charges for corrections officials. And a Long Island lawmaker wants to decriminalize adultery in New York. According to the state penal code, adultery is still a Class B misdemeanor, although since 1972, only 13 people have been charged and 5 convicted. New York Assemblyman Charles Levine has introduced a bill to repeal and decriminalize the act of adultery in the state.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
Old Rochester Regional High School has reason to celebrate this morning. The Bulldogs are off to the state championship, beating Pittsfield High on the basketball court at Worcester State University last night, the score 82-72. The Celtics became the first team in the NBA to reach 50 wins after blowing out the Portland Trail Blazers 121-99. Team closes out its road trip tonight at 9 against the Utah Jazz. The Bruins unable to extend their winning streak to 3 games after falling to the St. Louis Blues 5-1 at TD Garden. They visit Montreal on Thursday, and the Red Sox host St. Louis in spring training today at 1:05.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Today is going to feature tons of sunshine. It is going to still be breezy, but at least temperatures will be warmer. We're headed to a high of about 56. For tonight, clear skies, chilly lows dropping into the lower 30s. Meanwhile, your Wednesday will feature sunshine and a high again in the mid-50s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And I played the instrumental version, but you know you still started doing the doot, doot, doots anyway. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, and of course, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We were talking about books, and we were talking about the lack of finding used books the way that we used to be able to, you know, 20 years ago. And I listen, I know there are plenty of great bookstores out there. I know that there are plenty that sell used books, but it's not the same as it used to be. You don't have as much access to them, to cheap, affordable books as you used to. Now, you know, just as an example, and this is in no way a plug, but I went into CVS the other day. I had gone to Gifts to Give when they opened on Saturday morning, got a bunch of great deals. Everything was 75% off. Their already ridiculous price of just $4 for just about every item. So I walked out of there with a ton of clothes, a lot of it new, name brand, and most importantly, in my current size. And I got like three bags of clothes and a pair of shoes for $16.50. And as I'm driving back and, you know, heading toward the highway, I stopped into CVS because I wanted to get something to drink. I said, I'll just stop in there and get a bottle of water or juice or something. And they had my book on the local book's bookshelf. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me see how many copies they have. And I went over and I just happened to flip the book over. And I had no idea that my book is now $21.99. Now, when it came out 10 years ago, it was $19.99, which I thought was a ridiculous price then. And I have a contract, a signed contract that says that I can't sell the book for less than what the cover price is. So if I bought a bunch of author copies and went to, you know, some festival on a weekend and was selling copies of my book, I have to sell it at $21.99. I can't undercut the price. And so I was just thinking to myself, like, man, how many more people would read this book if it was $9.99? And it's not about me making money, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really make money off that book. I make a lot more now than I used to when it wasn't in all the stores around here, but it was never about making money. It was about just collecting the stories of the Ghost of the South Coast. And so I didn't really worry that much about it. But looking at it, I was like, man, $21.99 for all these local history books that people would want to read. But that's pretty cost prohibitive for a book that's 100 pages. So anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
What's going on, Tim?
How you doing?
Not bad. Hey, I came across an article yesterday, not to change the subject off of books, but 80% chance of the DEA looking into and announcing the rescheduling of marijuana.
Good.
I agree with you. But I see right through it. It's obviously a political ploy.
I mean, I think so. I think it's also an economic ploy, too.
It could be. I mean, we kind of have, I think 25 states or 24 states already have it legal. So it's again, more of a political ploy because they know this election, the kids are going to actually be staying home. And I think this is a way for them to maybe get a little bit more excited on it and see what's see if they give Biden credit, because I know he was the one who was kind of pushing it.
But do you think younger people are the people that are the ones that want to go out and buy legal cannabis?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a significant amount of kids that are doing it now legally. They're not getting it from the street, mainly because they don't trust it. They don't trust the street stuff now.
Well, nobody should, really. It's just too dangerous.
Exactly.
These days.
I mean, back when I was doing it, buying it off the street.
I think we lost you there a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, we lost you a little bit.
There we go.
There, okay. Back in those days, you knew the person you were buying it from, you know?
Yeah, and back in those days, it was pretty much just sticks and seeds. It was
right.
Pretty much bud anyways. But when, you know, a lot of these kids, they're like, I ain't touching anything I get off the street, even from my buddy, because my buddy's not growing it. You know, he's the one who's buying it from somebody else that he does, you know, that he somewhat knows. So everybody's buying it from stores and different shops. But I'm happy. I mean, especially for like truck drivers. Think about this. A truck driver now has to get tested if you have a CDL for marijuana in a state where it's legal. just because the federal government says it's not. So somebody with a CDL can actually lose their job or get suspended or whatever, specifically because they're doing something that's legal in their state. Doesn't make sense.
My last cooking job, I worked in, you know, the place where I cooked was inside of a warehouse that was, and this was at the time when it became legal and the shops first started opening up. And the problem was the people who were doing it, and they were already doing it well before it had become legal, but they're trying to argue, like, why are you testing us for this? And they're like, well, you operate a forklift and our insurance requires us to test you for it.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's a forklift. I mean, I get it. Like but you've got to be pretty blasted to right. not be able to operate a forklift just because you've smoked a little marijuana.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I think it's a political ploy, and I don't really have a problem with it being a political ploy. Just as long as it gets done. You know, sometimes political ploys is the only way, that political pressure is the only way things get done in this country that, you know, are better for the people. And it's just...
I was going to say, too, the other part of it is in having the federal government remove all of these restrictions and stigmas on it, will open up those other 25 states or whatever it was, you know, those economies to have more of this influx. But then also what will happen is it's going to kind of, I think, a lot of people were worried that it would lead to more people doing it. I think it actually will discourage a lot of people from doing it, you know?
No, I mean, it could. We actually see that in Portugal. A lot of the people out there, when they decriminalize all drug use, it's blatantly on the streets now. It's everywhere. It's everybody's, not everybody's doing it, but a lot more people are doing it, and it's being used blatantly on the streets. It's become actually, you know, it's become an issue. But when it comes to whether or not something should be legal for personal use, that it shouldn't even be the role, in my opinion, role of the government, regardless. You know, it's when you're distributing, it should be illegal, but for personal use, everything should be legal, in my opinion. But we see that it is going to happen with increased use as you decriminalize it and make it legal. It is what it is, but it's harmless. It's literally harmless. We allow cigarettes. That's it. You know, that the fact that we allow people to smoke rat poison legally, yet if I grow a plant in my backyard, I can't smoke that. It's ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense whatsoever.
I mean, I was more affected the first time I put in, the first time I dipped than I was the first time I don't know. I was also hit pretty hard the first time I smoked a joint too. But, to me, I was taken aback by what happened the first time I tried chewing tobacco. Like, I did not expect to get that buzz that I got. And I'm like, oh, really? That seems pretty dangerous. And I just went and bought that legally.
Yeah, I've never done dip. But, yeah, I guess... It must be like the nicotine kind of hits you harder.
Yeah, I got lightheaded and I was driving and I had to pull over, and then I went home and threw up because I swallowed some of it. Oh, it was uh-huh. horrible.
Oh yeah, I have a bad experience with that in high school. I guess they were on our way to a football game out in Boston, and it was like a playoff game or something. So the school loaded us up into a school bus. And we started heading out there, and the guys in the back, they started chewing, and one of their bottles tipped over. Oh, my God. It permeated the entire, every window was open. It was that bad, and you could still, it was pungent throughout the entire bus. It was disgusting. And that's probably why I'll never do it. I will never touch dip, specifically because of that. Back when I was like 14 years old.
Wow.
That smell is like burned in my memory. It's, oh my God, one of the worst smells you've ever, and I've smelled like baby poop, and that and that used to make me gag. But the dip was worse. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's at least, you know, the HHS is saying it's fine, but the DEA makes rules on whether or not they're going to even listen to another agency, which is kind of weird to me. When it comes, it's like, if the HHS, Health Health and Human Services at the federal level is going to say something is fine, the DEA should follow their example. Because the argument or the tension between two agencies is just redundant. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. Why the DEA wouldn't listen to the HHS?
Right. Well,
they're saying that's a good possibility, that the DEA would just ignore it and let it remain a Schedule One.
So it happens when you have that level of autonomy like they have.
Yeah, yeah. It seems redundant. It seems, you know, like a power grab. And not to sound like a Trump supporter, but like deep state kind of stuff. You know, they'll do what they want regardless of what the president says kind of thing, unless it's literally mandated by law. And Congress will never change it because you have way too many conservative states like Louisiana, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, and Oklahoma that'll never decriminalize it.
Well, we'll see what shakes out here. I appreciate the call and the information.
You got it, Tim.
Have a good day.
Have a good one.
Got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. First of all, that's one of the few 80s-sounding songs on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, but that's Eric Carmen's Hungry Eyes, and Eric Carmen passed away at the age of 74. He is known for, of course, that song and for All By Myself. He also co-wrote Almost Paradise, which was the love theme from Footloose. So, very prolific songwriter. Even though he might not have had as many individual hits himself as a performer, he wrote a lot of songs that you know and love, and he passed away at the age of 74. No cause of death has been revealed yet that I could find, but when I saw the news alert come through, my phone, you know, I was kind of like half awake, and I looked down, and I'm like, Eric Cartman died? He's a cartoon character. And then I realized it was Eric Carmen, and I said, oh my gosh. I mean, All By Myself is a iconic song, but I prefer Hungry Eyes myself. And speaking of hungry, WBSM is teaming up with the United Way of Greater New Bedford to make sure school kids won't go hungry during the upcoming vacation week with our annual Spring Hunger Heroes Food Drop. Join us Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon outside of Aldi at the Dartmouth Mall as the WBSM team and folks from the United Way will be collecting food items to help keep kids fed. You don't even need to get out of your car. That's what I love about these food drops. You just pull up and we'll come over to your car and we'll take them out of your car and you can be on your way. And because we're going to be in the parking lot of Aldi, if you don't have anything to donate already, Aldi will have all the items we're looking for up in the front of the store near the register so you can grab them, buy them, come on over and drop them off. And if you can't make it on Saturday, March 23rd, you can donate by visiting the Hunger Heroes page on Amazon. What are we looking for? We're looking for donations of things like macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, jelly, granola bars, cereal, and fruit cups. You can see a complete list of items at unitedwayofgnb.org. So come on by and donate Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to noon in the parking lot of the Aldi at the Dartmouth Mall for our Hunger Heroes food drop. And thanks to our sponsors, First Citizens Federal Credit Union, IZ Schwartz, Carefree Homes, and Mediterranean Fine Foods, the producers of Amaral Sausage. So I always love being out there for the Hunger Heroes food drop, although I'm hoping this time around it won't be windy. I'm hoping the weather will cooperate. It seems like each time we have some sort of weather issue. Last time it was a nice sunny day, but the wind kept blowing our tents away. And I actually like got in the car and drove down to Dick's Sporting Goods. And I was like, I need to get some of those weights for tents. It says here on the website that you have them, like, oh, yeah. And then we looked around. They're like, I guess we don't have them. You can buy a tent, though, that comes with them. I was like, no, I have the tent. I just need the weights. So we're going to bring extra weights this time, just in case. All right, I got to take one final break here. We'll be right back. All right, that's going to do it for this.